This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some Buckle Down Double IPA as we talk about, well, all the things we missed and a handful of news that's happening, including Phase 3 taking over Lake Zurich Brewing. All that more on this week's episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick Way.
And we are going to get drunk again on this episode.
You know, I love the color scheme too, man. You know, it's Loose Keys color scheme, black and orange all day.
Yeah,
it's quite nice.
This is the Clencher Double IPA from Buckle Down. This is 3, and 4 is in a green kind of color can, and it came out like a few weeks ago.
Oh, it's a series, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Right on, Clencher. Mm-hmm.
This was canned, you know, 8/27/2019, so, you know, it's a little old for an IPA now.
It's got some legs on it.
But I've already drank a 6-pack of this beer. Like, Today. I really dig this beer. Like, it is everything I kind of want from an IPA. It has that, like, juiciness, but has, like, the big hops that feel bitter and, I don't know, piney and earthy, but it's not too orange juice.
Layers. It's got some nice layers. And then, you know, I mean, there's something to be said about it, because here it is, we'll say September, first week of September, and here we are. In January,
yeah,
and it says something about their process over there, what they're doing with these things, because this still works.
Yeah, and I was at Binny's yesterday, you know, buying some High Life and Chug Life for something we got coming up.
Yes,
and I saw this beer. It was on sale. It was like $11.99 for a 6-pack. So, well, I didn't buy it then, but I had already had it. But I was like, oh, that's a great deal for this beer.
El Dorado, Simcoe, Calypso, mm-hmm. and Amarillo. You don't hear about the usage of Calypso a whole lot.
No. You got to change up your hop game now that those New Zealand hops are, you know, burned up. So.
God.
Too soon.
I mean, there's probably still burning over there, Brad. Goddamn.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm digging this beer. It's good. We got 4 more to go, and if you were watching or listening last week, man, we got toasty off of that double IPA.
What was that? What was that we were drinking, man? Oh, from
Space Crystals. From
down south.
Little Beaver.
Yeah. That was a fun ride, man.
Mm-hmm.
That'll shake any kind of day you had. It'll shake it right the fuck up.
That one was only like 8 or 8.6, so, you know, we're right here. Ready to go.
All right, Tuesday Oof. Night. Hello.
Well, it's good because we did absolutely nothing.
We did jack shit.
So thanks for listening.
That's it. Show's over. All right. See you. Three minutes.
But no. We got some events to talk about that are coming up. We got some news. I did go to Half Acre for lunch. You know, got myself a burrito /wrap.
This is the unofficial official Half Acre pod.
Yeah,
so.
We got Half Acre glasses.
Oh, yeah. We're drinking out of these Bodie glass. I had my first Bodie of 2019.
Nice. Okay.
2020. It tasted better last year.
Okay.
Yeah. It don't taste the same. Uh-oh. It don't taste the same this year.
It was the beer of 2019.
It was definitely the beer of the summer. And, you know, time and place. Maybe it's not summer. Maybe that's why it's hitting differently. Okay. I tell you, because I had this peanut butter cuppa, Phase 3 Maplewood, peanut butter, whatever they're calling it, Nutter Flutter.
Okay.
I had it after, you know, like a post-meal kind of thing. And, you know, I'm bitching, not a lot of peanut butter. Where's my peanut butter? You call it. Where is it? I don't get it.
You called them up?
I didn't call him up, wanted to, didn't. Had it maybe 2 days ago. And first thing I'm thinking, like, man, oh, goddamn, there's tons of peanut butter in this.
Hmm.
It's just strange. Time and place really affects these beers, man. It's the same beer. I'm the same dude. A couple weeks apart, and I got tons of peanut butter, and I got none. Not very little, just aroma.
Hmm.
Very little, though. Anyway, this is what we do when we don't go to stuff. We start, you know.
Time and place affects that, yeah. Bodam, maybe it's not the time and place for it.
A little Bodie.
I had a rice IPA when I was there, Raj, that he was, you know, waitering or, like, working tables. That guy,
I think he's one of, like, two or three employees that have been there long enough to get, like, a sabbatical, right? After, like, 10 years.
It was Matt and Gabriel, and then basically Raj.
He's the original Half Acre Crew, and he loves what he does.
And he's still working the bar, clearing tables.
Like, meeting the people. Every time I see him, he's, like, super jazzed up. He's a swell guy.
If you ask him about the beers, he has, like, them all on his phone, like, recipes. He'd be like, well, let me see what it was. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, it did have this in there. And you're like, damn.
Yeah. One day I came to, after a double shift, I came to Big Hugs on, like, a Sunday morning. And, you know, I didn't have a hat because I wanted to be there because it's a time thing. And, you know, Raj kept seeing me, you know, squeeze my ear to my shoulder because I was so cold. And he gave me a Half Acre Scully, man.
Oh, nice.
No, Raj saved me that morning.
Too kind of him.
Very kind guy.
So that was my only stop. So, but coming up this week, speaking of Cuppa, it's 5 years of Maplewood.
The Maple Room, you know?
It hasn't caught on like I hoped.
No. They're still at the end of that block. They used to be the brewery that started as.
I don't think the Maple Room has been for 5 years.
Oh, just the brewery.
Maplewood. Yeah.
They started as Mercenary.
That's right.
But then Odell, who has like a Mercenary IPA, said you need to stop. And then they switched to Maplewood, which is a better fit for them because they're on Maplewood.
Yeah. But they're releasing a cup of stuff for that with vanilla, chocolate, and Oreos.
Stuffed.
Double stuffed kind of thing. The first 45 people get like something special.
I want a cup of mug. I think it's a mug.
But there'll be limited merchandise, hats and shirts and cups, and then other cuppas. That's going to be nuts.
If you're into $30 worth of barrel-aged syrup, theirs is fantastic. You got to be into that thing. I know Rev had one. They had a barrel-aged straight jacket syrup for like $23. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're into those things, dare I say it might be worth it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's no substitute for good syrup, Brad. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be a good hang. It might be kind of nice that day. So could be worth checking out.
Cheers to the Maple Room. Maplewood Brewing.
5 years.
And distillery. Return of five. A lot of moves. They got a good pivot, man. They do the pills. And they do that oatmeal stout, the pug. Mm-hmm. They do.
And just juice pants.
Like juice pants. Husky pants.
Frog them into like, oh, what?
Yeah, the charlatan. A lot of moves. Now they're doing they got a lot of those fruited sours, kettle sours in there.
Oh, I haven't seen those.
They got the cup of series in there on draft. They do a lot of very cool stuff.
I want a bigger and quieter space to hang out and drink some of their beer.
It's plenty loud in that joint. I think I was in there once and they were playing Kendrick on a Sunday night. And I'm like, I like Kendrick.
It was turned up to 11.
I'm looking around like, man, it's fucking loud in this joint.
It's just cool. It's a good spot. You know, they're making good beer. It's fun hang.
It's one of my favorite spots. It's actually a lounge. So, like, you let too many people in a lounge, and everyone's on top of each other, and you cannot lounge. And what I respect about them is that, you know, their space can fit more people, but they never overstuff their space. Mm-hmm. They keep the
Maybe
lounge aesthetic.
Stuff it. On Friday.
Hope they, yeah, and he's,
or on a Saturday.
Yeah. Cheers to those guys, man.
Cool. Anything else worth noting that's happening this weekend?
This weekend? I don't know. There is some cool stuff on the horizon.
Well, we are going to a preview of Friday Night Flights.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Thursday, which kind of, I think of Friday Night Flights and I think of summertime.
Yeah, so.
Well, we got a preview of it right now, and it is. We're not even close to summer. I feel like we're the farthest away from summer right now. We're not even into winter, I feel.
Yeah. The Chicago Auto Show is coming up. 2020 Auto Show down at McCormick Place. So we're going to be hanging out at Aris, and we're going to get a peek at what's going on. It sounds like the Guild has a booth at the auto show.
They have a car, a beer, a car powered by beer.
How cool would that be, man? It looks like this. We've been to Aeris before.
Yeah. You've never been inside, though.
I've never been inside. This is my first time. I've been to Aeris 3 times. This is my first time inside, man.
Will be, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to meet the auto show folks, and there's going to be 12 breweries.
On Thursday?
For the sneaky peek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Friday Night Flights, Guild event, kind of celebrates neighborhoods, mm-hmm. right? Like you said, summertime series. It's extending to the winter, which sounds fun.
Yeah.
What's up? We're going to get some glass, because, you know, on the beach, you can't really have glass. You got these little paper cups.
They're going to give plastic glass cups there? At Aeris?
Or at the...
Oh, at the auto show?
At the auto show.
Maybe you'll drink out of little cars.
Like like the tequila that's shaped like a Tommy gun?
Or gas cans.
When was the last time you've been to the auto show, Brad?
Probably at least 6-7 years ago now.
Yeah. All the steps when you get to that place.
Yeah.
I think last time I've been, maybe been like 2003 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's neat to see. Like, it's probably pretty neat this year, especially 2020. You may see some, like, fun cars or things pop up this time.
Man, I saw a BMW concept car that looked pretty cool, and I kind of want to see it. It looks like something out of Total Recall, where it's really just all wheels and the car is like kind of the whole car see through.
Oh, okay.
It looked
like
really
a bubble car.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It looked pretty rad. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, it was like their electric car.
That's cool.
Concept cars are always a win. Always a win at
yeah,
those things.
Yeah, that's like the best way. I'm not gonna buy this new 2020 Ferrari. Like, I want to see the cool cars that you're never really gonna make, but are neat to see.
No.
Cool. So yeah, we'll be at Aeris. Previewing Friday Night Flights. Our buddy Josh Riley will be in.
Oh, right on.
You know, probably pouring one out for the Bears.
Yeah, man. Bourbon A is no longer home to Chicago Bears training camp. Mm-hmm. And ever since I can remember, that's where you would go for that.
But we've never been for that. We've been to Bourbon A's for Brickstone.
Yes.
And I would think Brickstone probably benefited from the Bears being there. But the people that go to Brickstone are probably local Bourbonnais. Are you a Bourbonnais?
Bourbonnais? A Bourbonnaiser?
Bourbonnaiser?
There's Frank Lloyd Wright house down there in Kankakee.
Okay.
Right off the river, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So they're moving. The Bears are moving up to Lake Forest, which, you know, isn't that far from, in the other news, the Lake Zurich, right?
Yeah, I
feel like it's got to be right there.
How far away can Lake Forest be from Lake Zurich, right?
Right.
It's closer
than Bourbonnais. I know that.
That's a fact. Yeah. That's a fact. Yeah. I mean, the Bears moving makes sense because the Bulls used to practice in Deerfield at the Berto Center, and the Bulls practice across the street now from the United Center. So it makes sense to just, you know, do the practices preseason closer to where you are anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like Phase 3, who was brewing at Lake Zurich, is gonna buy Lake Zurich. That's awesome.
That's so. like a coup, like a hostile takeover kind of thing, or like any of those, like, I don't know, insider kind of, like, I'm gonna come in, destroy this company, and then we're gonna take it over.
Regardless of where you stand on the Phase 3 phenomenon, it's like nothing we've ever seen. Sean, the brewer guy, hit the scene like a tornado the last 3-4 years. You know, best in show at FOBAB his first year, mm-hmm. Best in show runner up the second year, and you know they were only open for 6 months when he took best in show at FOBAB at Moore.
For Moore,
and the same frenzy that he had at Moore was in place when he was at Schaumburg Ram. You know, people were coming from all over to go to these remote locations for this guy. So then, you know, he goes from Ram to Moore to start his own thing. And it just gets bigger and bigger every time. And now he's taking over the spot that he was contract brewing.
That's crazy.
You got to love that, man. That's awesome. So no more Warm Mouth. That was one of
Lake Zurich beer?
One of Lake Zurich's beers was the Warm Mouth.
Never went up there.
Yeah, they probably got tired of people asking for phase three in the tap room, right?
Because like, I see it. It's brewing right there.
We know you brew it here. We heard the shows.
Yeah.
We know it's here.
Just pour some out from the tap.
Because, you know, for a long time, like Hop Butcher brews at Miskatonic. And it's probably different now, but when we went to Miskatonic, me and Chef Juan Kim, because he did some murals in there, they said, yeah, we don't pour Hot Butcher beer here. Okay. We only pour Miskatonic beer. Mm-hmm. So I imagine there was something like that in place up at Lake Zurich, probably.
Probably, yeah.
So cheers to them, man. They come out the gate. Last month they announced their that you could buy like $400 worth of beer from them up front if you wanted to.
Oh, they took all that money and was like, yo, Lake Zurich, we got paid. Here you go.
You know, you got to seize the moment, Brad.
Like, we're either going to leave you and take all of our what we were paying you and go somewhere else, or we're just going to buy you it. And they're probably like, cool, just have it.
Just take it.
Just take it.
We'll take the money and run. Yeah. So a lot of these agreements, I know, like when, what was it? I think at Blue Nose Brewing, Chicago Brew Bus bought a fermenter there. Yeah, threw down like $8,000 for a fermenter. So there were probably some phase three equipment there. They were probably invested in the equipment already. Right. So, I mean, you know, if you're 15% in, you might as well just go all in.
Yeah.
And just turn it and, you know. Well, they have. They
this
got.
Is what AB does for. I'll buy like 15% this year, 15% next year. We'll take it all now.
We'll take it all. Lagunitas announced that they were selling half. Yeah. And 12 months later, they quietly just, well, we're going to sell the other half too.
Yeah. You know?
This is how it works.
Oh, so that's a crazy suburban news. Look at it. I even have this Roaring Table sticker there in Lake Zurich.
That's right. Their space reminds me a little bit of like one of the Goat properties. I think like Little Goat.
Okay.
It's just a very well done tap room. Like it's a well manicured like space that happens to be a brewery.
Okay.
Like it's a nice looking spot. It's in a strip mall, but it's a very nice spot.
It feels like it has that, like the branding and everything has the Penrose vibe. Was Good Beer Hunting involved in that? Do you know?
You know, when we had him on the show last year, he mentioned something about, you know, 26 breweries in planning that he was a part of. I know he was part of that Roebuck, which was the third in the Corridor hop. Goddamn, what was the first one? The Corridor, and then
Dry Hop.
Yeah, Dry Hop. Thank you. Yeah, Kaiser had a hand in that. His crew did. So
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. No.
Okay.
Yeah, nice space though.
Yeah, so net two. Probably killer breweries in Lake Zurich now.
Lake Zurich, hello.
Like that's gonna be a good trip maybe this summer.
I mean, I'll go to Phase Three's brewery.
Phase Three and Roaring Table,
and
why
Roaring
not?
Roaring Table. While you're up there, you hit a little Scorched Earth and
Scorched Earth is up there too?
Algonquin. I was gonna say Antioch. I don't know why I said I'm gonna say Antioch.
Okay. Then you're like in Schaumburg kind of too.
There's a lot going on out there.
Yeah.
The burbs are fun. The burbs were fun. When we went to Crystal Lake, we noticed that a lot of the oldest breweries in the whole state are all suburban breweries. Mm-hmm. They got their own vibe. It's fun to brewery hop in the burbs.
Nice.
Yeah.
And now they got the Bears up there.
Right on.
Nice. What else is happening in the news?
Man, the good folks at Geno's East, which we've done a podcast there.
We've been on his podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That wasn't us. We were on...
he was supposed to come on ours, and...
I think it took us like a year to say, all right, well, cool, why don't we just come to yours?
Yeah. And he hasn't come on ours.
Indecent Exposure, I think, was Kevin McMahon's podcast. Yeah. Kevin McMahon's a brewmaster, head brewer over at Geno's. Geno's has been making pizza for 50 years. The brewery is 5 years old. Mm-hmm. They turned five.
He's still brewing there?
Yes.
Nice. He makes it's good beer. I don't man. The last time we were there might have been for the podcast.
Yeah.
I get tempted sometimes to just pop in for a beer because I don't need that pizza all the time, but I do want to see what beers he has. Like it's he's kind of screwed by the place, right? He makes good beer, but people go to it for the pizza. Like they don't.
It's such an iconic pizza brand. When you think about, well, I think Giordano's, it kind of blows. I'm not a big Giordano's fan. Their chicken parm's good, but But you think of the short list of well-known deep dish pizzerias. Like
Luminati's, Giordano's.
And Gino's East would be the three. Yeah. So that's kind of hard, right? It's hard to just say, oh, by the way, we make beer, and then have people remember that.
Right. So I like, there's times where I think about it. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to see the beer. Should I eat the pizza? And then I just like, I psych myself out of going because.
The thin crust option's good at Gino's too. Yeah. That space.
5 years brewing.
Yeah. So on January 23rd, they're doing live music, a raffle. They got some 420 trees. They're partnering with a local dispensary.
They're selling them there on the.
I think so.
Can you do that's allowed? You can do like pop up. Those Emporium folks are all over that.
Yeah, because they got the one next door.
Yeah.
The one that got robbed.
Oh, really?
That was the one next door to Emporium. Yeah. Because these things, I think it's illegal on the federal level, so they're all cash only.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Green Thumb Industries and local vendors are going to be there. Maybe there's some kind of license for that, right?
Pop-up shop thing. Yeah, I guess it's
some kind of pop-up.
If it's legal, it's legal, right? Like, you can have a pop-up shop for anything. That would be legal, right?
That's true.
I don't know what kind of rules are in place.
Yeah. But cheers to him, man. I love that space. It's there's a comedy club on the second level. Mm-hmm. That used to be Michael Jordan Steakhouse. The mural for the tile is still there at the entrance. But then it was Lalo's, which was a margarita joint back in the day. That was the old Chicago Power Company. So I think like back when there was
Lalo's, then the Power Company, right?
No, when there was no like pre.
Oh, but then it was called the Chicago Power Company,
which was like a bar or something.
Like a club.
Or something.
Kind of bar thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where the pulleys for the trolley car. I think there were trolley cars in Chicago at one point.
Oh.
I think it was related to that.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
So basically, a lot of history in that building. It's a gorgeous space, and it's a brewery, and they're turning five. It's right downtown, man, right by the Rock and Roll McDonald's over there.
Rock and Roll McDonald's. So when is this party?
That's the 23rd.
23rd. And then I kind of want to check this out. Like, I just kind of want to.
It'd be fun. I'm right down there. I'm like a couple blocks away from there. Yeah.
Nice.
I'd be down for that.
Feels like, man, everyone's having a birthday here.
Yeah.
This year.
It's part of our misses. Haymarket turned 9.
Right. Claire's.
I didn't get to make it down there.
I didn't go either.
I was curious about the barley wine in four different barrel variants on the barley wine.
Okay.
I was curious about that. I didn't make it though.
We blew it this last week.
We blew it hard, man.
We gotta step it up next week. Should be good. Anything else in the news?
Cheers to Spiteful. They're playing with these stouts a lot lately.
Layered cake.
They have a mixed four pack of that going on, where it's like it started as a chocolate thing, then it's like a cherry almond thing, and all the flavors in the middle. They're doing a barrel aged Malevolence Chocolate Caliente stout release, along with Hostel Harry, which is their barrel aged barley wine. They're doing a cinnamon bun version of that.
Damn.
Yeah.
So when's that?
January 31st.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the Malevolence, not the barrel-aged one, but the Malevolence might be my favorite beer from them just overall.
Damn, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had it.
It's like a Mexican hot chocolate stout. People went nuts over the barrel-aged version back in back at Wells Park in 2016. Well, it was a closing ceremony to Beer Week.
Do you think the people care this time around that this release is happening? Like,
I'm hoping that
Spiteful kind of flies under the cool kid beer radar, but they do cool things.
That is very true. Yeah. I'm kind of hoping that whenever I decide to get there that weekend, it's there. That's my hope.
Okay.
Yeah. The 31st is a Friday. So if I roll in there Sunday, maybe they got some.
Yeah. So. 31st. Okay.
But yeah, that is a delicious beer. Their barley wines are good too. Nothing beats just hanging out, you know, when they got those big windows open where we were doing when we did the opening.
Yeah.
Open for Beer Pass, just hanging out in those windows with a nice barley wine at Spiteful. One of my favorite places to be. I like that place.
Yeah, summertime on that block right there, Spiteful and outdoor at Half Acre. Just like, this is what you love Chicago for, kind of thing.
It's a win. It's very nice. Let's see. What else is going on in the news? We talked about Friday Night Lights coming up. Our boys, the Hop Review, they decided to shut it down.
Rest in peace. This is why we heard rumors of Ultra Fresh. Not like that might have been the last Ultra Fresh. So they knew that they were probably shutting this down, or had like talks of like, yeah, this is too much work.
Yeah.
But they shut it all down.
Yeah, I think when I met the Hop Review, there were three of them. They were all had Michigan roots. I think two of them went back to Michigan. Well, you know, Tom Weiss started Slinging Suds for Collective Arts.
That's right.
And then the third guy, Nick, I think he just flat out moved back to Michigan.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever – I've probably met him once, but then Jack is still here.
Yeah, Jack's here. Jack's running – Jack's got that consulting firm down by Goose, Fulton, whatever you call that thing over there.
With Stout Collective, Mac Tanaka.
Yeah, they got a whole collective over there where they do like all kind of design work and consulting. But I think it just became overwhelming, it sounded like.
I guess. I don't it gets hard to do it on your own, right? If that's how he maybe felt, like it was very Chicago focused, because that's just what they kind of were. Yeah. And so it started to be maybe just, yeah, a lot of work, I'm sure. Like, what are you at that point, right? Are you a U.S. beer blog that can only cover two states? So.
Yeah. So, it's a good run. We saw them all the time. We had them on the show for Ultra Fresh a couple years ago.
A couple times, right?
Yeah. Always a good hang.
Yeah.
So, Godspeed to them. Hop Review is always it's fun. You know, the March Madness thing was always fun. But then some stories I used to peek at, like for when Mars opened, you know, and they would ask questions like, yo, why are these four packs, you know, $18 for 4 12-ounce, you know, cans, you know. They would ask questions I wanted to know. So if I didn't go to something, or if I was curious about what was happening with a crew that I didn't know yet, you could read them and they'd fill you in. They did some nice long reads.
Were kind of, you know, your go-to Chicago beer fill-in, although there's, you know, guys drinking beer and the Tribune, but, you know, I liked what Porch Drinking and Hop Review were doing or are doing.
Yeah, the scene is so big that it's too much for one crew to handle. So you kind of can appreciate when any of these crews just decide to get down and stay with it. Cause it completely goes over your head. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to stay tuned in.
You know, we've seen plenty of things come and go in.
Oh man, they all come and go, man.
You know? We got Beer Download is gone.
Yeah,
they had a huge run.
Beer Download was one of my faves. It was a podcast and it was a tournament. Mm-hmm. So I guess it always had the definitive end, right? Because it's a tournament. But yeah, they're gone.
Hopcast basically. Yeah, we just kind of
on hiatus.
We're all long hiatus. We're all hoping for the return.
On hiatus. Hopcast is going to come back. They're going to be dressed in. It's going to be a black and white episode.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like this French movie. Everyone's going to have tuxedos and little mustaches when the Hopcast returns.
Happen. It could happen. we got Suburbia.
Yeah, that's true.
We had what's her name? She had the Kate had her blog for a while.
Jessica Murphy, Girls Like Beer Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Kate? No, Kate.
I don't know Kate. I'm trying to think of who Kate is. Oh, you're talking about she writes for Good Beer Hunting now.
Yeah, but she has her own thing with like art stuff, right? I can't remember the name of it.
We're thinking of two people. I'm thinking of this sucks because I see her face. Steph. I'm thinking of Steph.
Okay.
Stephanie Boyce.
Okay.
And I'm drawing a blank on her thing. But she writes for Good Beer Hunting now.
Okay. Yeah. And then Kate, I think she's
You're thinking of, like, Kate, Kimberly.
I thought it was Kate. It starts with a B. It's like,
God damn it, Brad.
She's had, like, art stuff, and she had...
She'd have her like own booth.
She did, like, cards and stuff people could buy. Yeah.
She had her own booth at festivals.
Really cool stuff. Like, yeah. But she kind of, I think, she got another job or became a different part of the industry and kind of, like...
It was all about... Her thing was all about, you know... Her thing was all about illustrations.
Yeah.
It was like beer-inspired illustrations. And she would have a booth and she would sell all these neat, you know, I don't know, calendars or postcards or, you know, maybe, I don't know, whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Arts and crafts. Yeah.
Yeah. But she like covered the beer scene too a little bit.
There was someone else. Oh, Chi-Town on Tap. Yeah. That was Paul Snyder's thing when we first came around. Yeah, things kind of come and go. A lot, and in some of those instances, you know, people just kind of, like, Paul Schneider's a brewer now, right? Yeah. He was a brewer in Solomoth, and now he's a brewer in, like, a you know, another state.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of people do it on...
Serbia, he took on a gig at, like, a tap room.
Yeah.
And now he's, like, at a brewery.
He's at Plank Road, and now he's at Riverlands. Yeah.
So some of these things you just kind of...
You start because you love it, and you want to get into it.
And then you get into it.
And you're like, well, I did the thing.
Right.
And so now why keep doing the thing? Because you kind of met your goal, right?
I think
so.
The things that kind of, like, stick around, like in Hopperview's case, or, like, or Beer Pass, or guys drinking beer, like, guys that love it, and then it's not – they don't – they're not into – they're not doing it –
to go, make money.
Like, or going to find another
– yeah.
Find a spot at an actual brewery.
Yeah. Like, I love the people in this. Yeah. Like, I don't need to work in it, but I love the people and everyone we meet. Like, it's an amazing thing. So I like just supporting the whole thing. So it's cool. So, yeah. I don't know. I've seen a lot come and go. It's cool.
That was fun naming because there were, you know. And then cheers to anybody who decided to even for, like, 3 months – take your love for it beyond just drinking it.
Yeah.
And talking about it with your friends. Like, go
that up. I'm not just an alcoholic.
Go that other step and say, hey, man, let me help kind of chronicle this thing. Let me help push this thing forward by, you know, pictures and words or video or anything.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, the shit's so big that not one crew can handle it. And even if one crew could handle it, seeing everyone's idea of how it should be covered is really fun. That's a fun part of being in this town, because there's so many. You go to these things and there's so many options on how to view stuff.
Yeah, and that's just us local knowing, like, stuff pops up all over the place and disappears. And
yeah, so right on, man.
So that's cool. Yeah, sorry to see Hopperview go, but, you know, they had a great run, 8 years. Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Anything else?
Let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about White Claw.
We're talking about the past. We got to talk about the future. The Claw. We're going to talk about those, you know, people shooting the White Claw and chugging it.
Let's talk about No Laws, man. White Claw.
Have you seen those videos yet?
It is ridiculous, these fucking people. You know, America, man, you know?
I don't have a gun, so I can't shoot my White Claw off.
I got nothing, man. I'm like, you know what? Let me not be around you when you pull out your gun and shoot off your White Claw, man.
What's the story when you go to the hospital and be like, I was trying to shoot my beer off and drink it, and, like, I shot my hand. Like, I don't
know. I shot my, now my neighbor shot my neighbor in the throat.
I was trying to open my beer. What?
Now you got a murder case. Just fucking around.
If you have to use your gun to open your beer, I don't think you should be able to own a gun. You like that. That might be my stance on that. If you use your gun for anything besides shooting things, you don't need a gun. Like, I don't know. You don't need to open stuff with it. Besides a door, if you're a cop, I guess.
I got nothing, man.
Rather
be caught with it than caught without it, I suppose.
Okay.
Right? All right. You know? Because they're coming for your guns, man. America's going to – they're going to try to take people's guns, man. Yeah. But that's a different episode.
All right.
Let's get back to it.
The Claw.
The Claws, man. No Laws, man. So the maker of White Claw and Mike's Hard Lemonade have announced plans for a West Coast production facility. Its location will be Glendale, Arizona, for $250 million, Brad.
Damn, okay.
Yeah. So this will be 900,000 square feet. So this is a story with White Claw, man. So they're going to make other stuff. They'll make Cayman Jack's cocktails. They'll make Mike's Hard Lemonade, and then they'll make Claw. But it sounds like they're self-financing this $250 million project, man.
They had to make so much money last year.
So the White, just, I think Claws alone outsold all of craft beer.
Yeah.
Right? This is insane. It's like their projection for 2020 is $4 billion in sales.
But I bet Mike's Hard Lemonade, in those probably like 2 years that it was the shit,
yeah,
probably did the same thing, right? And now it's still around. It's still, they have like 100 flavors. And it's kind of just a wine cooler. It's a wine cooler alternative.
It's the evolution of this. Alco Pop has always been a thing, all the way back to, you know, yeah, Seagram's wine coolers. And, well, Jack Daniel's had those little Jack Daniel cocktails. I forget what they were called. But they were cute. They were little bitty Jack Daniel bottles, and they all were different colors. Mm-hmm. It's always been, that category's always been there. Mike's Hard Lemonade is kind of like a subset of that. Yeah. Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Yeah.
It was a subset of that.
Like, I bet you could compare the White Claw and the Mike's Hard Lemonade charts, and they are probably pretty damn close to the same thing that happened.
Yeah.
In the what? Mike's Hard Lemonade blew up in the late 90s, right?
Well, you know, Zima was a thing back. I mean, like, just some form of this has always been around.
Yeah.
So, last year, White Claw did $1.5 billion in sales. The whole category was $2.5 billion. So, this train shows no signs of slowing down. Oh, Boston Beer Company produces Truly. That's the other one that I'm aware of.
Right.
Like, and we talked a few episodes ago about up in Milwaukee, which we still need to go to in March, is a claw, not a claw, but a hard seltzer festival.
Oh yeah, we gotta get media.
We gotta nail that down. But they were saying how there's 25 different hard ciders. Hard seltzers.
Okay, I forgot. We gotta look into this and get media tickets.
That
for
thing's
this.
Gonna be good. I can only have two of these goddamn seltzers, man. And then I'm out. I do not need a third one. I mean, unless we're doing shots.
I know, we're going to a fest. We gotta.
So the folks drinking these are probably 21 to 29, I think, is the market, right? And, you know, it plays. These things play very well in that age bracket where lagers do not. So there's that. They said they could have sold an additional 10 million cases last year. They were completely out of stock. So,
which was bullshit because that there everywhere I went there was White Claw.
It was White Claw.
So that was fake news.
Fake news.
There's plenty of Claw. Maybe Florida ran out, but that was probably.
Yeah, beer is only sourcing 9% of its volume from that 21 to 29-year-old male demographic. The lagers make up 72% of the beer market. But for 21 to 29-year-olds, beer is not their option. It apparently is seltzer.
Seltzer?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. That's fine.
Yeah. So there's that. Oh, also in news, man, did you see that Revolution Dine? Well, he's not Revolution Dine anymore. He's starting his own consulting firm called Three-Tier Consulting.
Okay. Didn't see that. Okay. Yeah.
So Revolution Dine was the, I think he was the director of sales at Revolution. But prior to that, he had a similar role at Dogfish.
Okay.
And at Goose Island.
Nice.
So he's breaking away to do a consulting gig. So good for him.
Looking forward to hearing more about that.
He's a likable guy.
Nice. All right. I think that's going to do it. I'm out of IPA here. Wow. We're going to do a new show in our new series. Yeah, we had the beer reviews that we put up on YouTube, usually every week or so.
Yeah.
We're going to do a versus series coming up, and we're going to compare, I don't know, either two different beers that are kind of supposed to be the same. We're going to compare it on price point or style. But I think price is going to be probably like our main thought process going in. Like, is you know, we're talking about $11.99 for the six-pack. Is that better than the $19.99 four-pack?
Yeah, when you consider all things, like when you consider who's producing it, consider the price, and considering the availability.
Yeah.
And then consider, like, how it makes you feel, what it tastes like. You know, which one comes out on top as, like, just a better option to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look for that coming up. We're going to record the first one. It will be Chug Life versus High Life.
Right on. I like that.
So, we're going to do that after this. You know, we're good and double IPA'd it up. And we're ready to mellow out with some, adjunct lagers. But that's going to do it for this week's episode of Chicago Beer Pass. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass Twitter, Instagram. We slacked this week. There was like two photos. We'll do better. We'll do better. We promise. Follow us. Like those photos. Please smash those like buttons. And we'll be back next week talking about Friday Night Lights. Maybe some cup of stuff if we make it there. Yeah. Take care.
Cheers.